clock is ticking, and despite more deals today, we hope, and that it's all it is at the moment, there's many more next week. Welcome to Trading Day. David King, Lee Montagna and John Ralph, you have the news of the day.
So Essendon's list boss says that Joe Danaher is irreplaceable and potentially they might be holding their star as Essendon's players lobby the club to hold firm on Joe Danaher. Sam Frost becomes a Hawk despite ninth in the best and fairest at Melbourne this year, and Ed Langdon gets to the Demons for a swap of the Melbourne 2020 second rounder and Fremantle's future fourth rounder. Football boss Josh Marnie tells me we will be keeping pick three unless we get an irreplaceable deal. So it seems like right now Adrian Dodoro is holding firm on his player.
So we're going to talk about Frost, we're going to talk about Langdon, but we're going to start with Joe Danaher. But just hold that thought for the moment, Joey. I know you've got something to say, because we're going to listen to Adrian Dodoro speak this morning about his star forward.
We've had three discussions with them, be it brief. Our position hasn't changed at all, mate. We're really clear. We don't think that this draft will replace a guy of Joey's ilk. 203 centimetres, you know, a gun key forward. They're just so hard to find. And he's very, very highly valued at our club. We love him. We love the Danaher family. And we think that once we get over this period, there's no reason why, you know, Joey can't fall back in love with the club.
Is it posturing or is it real, Joey?
It's probably a combination of the two. No doubt there's posturing there, but I think that they do believe that they can keep Joe Danaher and he can stay at the football club. I think that, I know he said that he wants to leave, but I don't think it's this situation where he's going to be hated if he ends up walking back into the footy club. You're allowed to break up with your girlfriend, Tom, and then get back with her. It can happen. It does happen. I think that there's every chance. There's every chance that he could stay at Essendon Footy Club. Listening to Adrian, he's not going to give away he's not going to be prepared to give him away unless they get the farm, and I think that's rightly so.
More and more list managers that you talk to feel like, they're just going to reject 5 and 9 and say, we absolutely feel like there are no tall players in there. Last year, the draft, Connor Rosie, Ben King, Nick Blakey, 5, 6 and 10. So Essendon right now are saying, we don't want a couple of flankers. We want a superstar. And we've got that bloke. We're going to hold firm.
You very rarely get like for like. Yep. Let's be honest. On the way out, there's never a ready-made replacement that you're getting as a natural selection coming back. He's become the Grinch of trade work, Adrian Dodoro.
He was, and he's come good, and now he's gone back
again. I like it. I like it because he's not prepared to lose Joe for nothing, and that's fine. So it's on Sydney now. Yep. The onus is on them to come up with something that's just too good to refuse. And he makes a lot of sense. I just wonder, can Danaher get to Sydney if the Papley deal doesn't go through, Ralphie? That's my concern. It relies on too many other hooks.
And I think that's the question too. How desperate are they to get rid of Tom Papley?
Well, while we talk about Tom Papley, let's have a look at this trade that you've put together as a hypothetical, Joey, that might involve Tom Papley.
Well, you asked, because how can this deal get done? And as you said, Ralph, it probably needs to be a mega deal. We've heard Adrian Dodoro. So what if it was Joe Danaher and pick 31 go to the Sydney Swans and Sydney give up pick 5? Now, they need to get number 9 from Carlton for Papley, which we'll discuss. And what about a Sam Reid or a Tom McCartan giving something back to Essendon? And we spoke about it earlier in the week, Kingy, that they need some replacement for Joe Danaher. Now, as we know, it's not going to be exactly like for like, but if they gave up 5, 9 and let's say Sam Reid, is that enough to satisfy Essendon? Will that get it done? Is it too much for the Sydney Swans to give up 2 top 10 picks and a pretty handy key forward as well? That's potentially how I can maybe see it getting done.
Have they presented the likelihood of 5 and 9, Ralphie? Do we know whether that's been offered up to Essendon?
I think that's what Adrian Dodoro is waiting for, 5 and 9. I think Tom McCartan would be perfect. You know, 5 and Tom McCartan. I think Sydney right now would be very happy to move on Sam Reid. I know they wouldn't say that publicly, but Sam Reid is a player who has teased us. Whereas Tom McCartan right now, after 34 games in 2 years, he's the man.
Yeah, but I don't think Sydney want to give up Tom McCartan. He's
You're
a young star.
5, 9 and one
Reid.
Of those guys.
Yeah, potentially. Okay. Because the reason why I'm throwing up one of the players too is because they're too tall, aren't they, King? If you look at Sydney's lineup, then that's what I'm wondering, like you just said, Ralphie. Does Sydney desperately need Joe Danaher? Their forward line already, they've got Sam Reid, Buddy Franklin, Will Haywood, who's a beauty. Nick Blakey, of course, who's a star. And even Heaney plays the tall marking forward. Tom McCartan, they want to earmark at centre-half back, along with Allaire and Rampy. Do they desperately need Joe Danaher?
Well, one list boss said to me today, Tom Papley is a more important player to their structure than Joe Danaher. We know, of course, that Danaher is transcendent at his best. But as he said there, you know, a perfect structure there with Papley there and those three talls right now. Blakey's 195 centimetres. So in 2 years, he might be a genuine marking forward. Right now, he's rangy and he's got, you know, lateral movement. What do you think about their structure without Tom Papley?
Oh, you find spots for stars. Absolute superstars like Joe Danaher can be. And Nick Blakey's going to be. Make no mistake.
Oh, no doubt.
I think the one thing with Sydney is that they are brave. When they see what they like, they find a way to make it work. The Buddy Franklin deal, getting Barry Hall probably ahead of time last year. Swapping out of the draft, getting Blakey, then coming back in. They're ahead of the game in a lot of ways. So I'd back them to make the right call. My big call tonight, right, I think the discussion around future picks needs to be looked at, because next year in the 2020 draft, we have 17 of the 46 players that played in the under-17 All-Stars game are either father, son or academy selections. It's going to be the most compromised draft that we've ever had. So be careful what you push back to 2020. So that's why I think a lot of clubs are saying, no, give us the picks in this year's draft. Give us what we know, getting back to your point before. Give us what we know now, whether that's Reed, McCartan or another club and another player. But we want to see what we can get in 2019, not get compromised next year. That's a big gap. I mean, some of those picks will be pushed back 8, 10, 12 selections.
Yeah. So you might think you have pick 20, it might end up being pick 28 or 30.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that is a really interesting point. Why is that? Why is next year's draft like that? I don't want to get too far off track.
Well, just because of father, sons and academies. Yeah. And Matty Barmer's right across this stuff.
Yeah.
And he's saying 17 of the 46 that played, I think the game was 6 weeks ago.
Right.
So it's a big number. It's numbers we haven't seen before. And that's why clubs are reluctant to get involved in future picks.
All right, what about the Bombers without Danaher? And just before we get to that, it was amazing listening to Adrian Dodoro today, and we know that there hasn't been an acknowledgement before today that Essendon would lose Danaher because of what's happened at the club with the medical department, but he actually said today that he looks forward to Joe Danaher falling back in love with Essendon. Before this, it's all just about being Joe Danaher being in Melbourne and potentially wanting to be in Sydney. So there was sort of a slight acknowledgement that maybe Essendon Football Club hasn't done the best by Joe Danaher according to the Danaher camp. We'll wait and see how that plays out. But the Danaher in the forward line chat is an interesting one because he's so important to them, but he might be gone.
So potentially they get 5 and 9, and we know they like Luke Jackson, who's 198-centimetre ruckman, so he would take 3 or 4 years. So you would just warehouse those two picks. What do they do if Danaher departs? I still love Cale Hooker forward. 41 goals in 2017. In that same year, that was Orazio Fantasia's best year. We saw in 2017 what Richmond were able to do with one star forward and then 3 or 4 small forwards around him. What do you think, David, with him moving forward? I know you're big on this concept. You've written about it before in the Herald Sun.
I really like Hooker forward. And unfortunately, his body was at a state where he couldn't function late in the season. But look, an even pre-season, a fair run at it. They've got enough quality key defenders in my eyes. Zerk Thatcher's going to be a star. Hurley's still a very good player.
Ambrose.
They're well served down back, aren't they? Yeah. But this is the hardest position on the ground to fill in any team. So when you lose someone, you're building your club around. The whole list build has been designed around Joe Danaher. So this is a major hole to leave in any compilation you've put together.
And so the start of 2017, he put his hand up and said, Coach, if you want me to play forward, I will. He enjoyed it there. As you say, they clearly have enough key defenders down back. Yeah. I just think it makes so much sense.
My concern is he'll be 31. He's not at the peak of his powers anymore from an athletic point of view. I know he's still got great hands and he can hit the scoreboard, but is that the answer for Essendon to jump up and be a top four team with Cale Hooker as your key forward at his age? I don't know. It's going to be fascinating. And that's maybe why I think for this deal to get done, Essendon might want something in return. And it might be a player, because Sydney do have the tools, whether it is a McCartan or a Sam Reed, who's still 27, 28. We know he's always been a bit potential base. He hasn't quite reached the heights, but maybe that can give Essendon some structure if Joe Danaher does go to the Swans.
What about Five and McCartan? If they just said, McCartan's our man at centre-half 40, he's played 35 games as a 19-year-old.
I can't see the Swans wanting to give up Tom McCartan. No. I think he's a beauty.
All right, will the deal get done? None of us know for sure, but do you think it will get done, Ralphie?
I'm saying no right now.
No.
You've
changed.
I've changed. I think he's so intractable that I think there's a real potential that it just doesn't get done, and that means the Papley doesn't get done. Real flow-on effect there.
I'm saying no as well. I think that Adrian Dodoro will sink his heels in and say, we're not going anywhere unless it's a mega trade. I think that the players will welcome Joe Danaher back to the footy club. I think that it can be done. He can come back into the footy club and hopefully play some good footy for the Bombers.
I think he'll get done. The Grinch will relent. He'll say, it's OK. we'll take 5 and 9 or we'll take 5 and a player. But if it doesn't get done, I know you're with me. We're together a lot on this.
Unusually so.
You think you'll get
it? I think it'll get done,
But if it doesn't get done, we have seen precedence on this. Just want to show you a small clip here, going back into work, if you haven't been traded.
Is that Costanza over there? What are you doing here?
What?
Am I crazy? Or didn't you quit?
When?
Friday.
Oh, what, that? Are you kidding? I didn't
With? Wait, you took that seriously.
That'll be Joey.
I don't know. Trading days at into Seinfeld, but it's true. Well, we walk back in.
There's no trades to talk about. We've got to find something to entertain.
So he rolls back in and he says to Mitch Brown, no, this is my spot in the ground. And Mitch says, hang on, mate, you don't even want to be here.
I was just joking.
What's his locker back? Oh, no, I got it. Very good, King. You bring something in for Seinfeld next week as well. Your scoop of the day, Ralphie.
So with all this happening and potentially Joe Danaher won't go anywhere, and that means that Tom Papley wouldn't go anywhere, my understanding is that Carlton and Gold Coast are now trying to hatch a deal to get Jack Martin done without those two players in the deal. I think it would involve Carlton handing over their 2020 first rounder, and then Gold Coast would hand their second rounder back. And so, quite clearly, Gold Coast desperate to get that deal done. What we know, of course, too, is that through the...
That sounds cheap, Ralphie. Sounds like a cheap deal from a Carlton point of view, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, potentially. So what it could be for Carlton, if they're, I don't know, eighth or ninth next year, is that they might only shuffle back 10 or 12 picks. But what we also know is that Gold Coast have a mid-first rounder from the priority picks that were handed out by the Gold Coast. So even if they hand over their second rounder, they've got maybe pick one, and then maybe pick 8 or 9, and then the Carlton pick. So they've got 3 picks within 12 or 13. I know that they might only move up in the draft order 10 or 12 picks, but they're trying to find these kind of ways where Craig Cameron and Stephen Silvani are talking about these picks right now. They don't want to be left with Jack Martin staying at Gold Coast.
I think that's a steal for Carlton if that's the case. As you said, it might only be 10 spots back. They've slid. Could be another masterstroke from Stephen Silvani. They did it with Liam Stocker. It could be a good pickup because, as I said earlier in the week, I think Jack Martin playing across half forward, bit of wing for Carlton, could be a great fit.
And that's one example where the priority pick from the AFL actually benefits other clubs as well. Yeah. And Carlton could be the beneficiaries of that.
I think if they don't get this Papley deal done, it has a huge effect to Carlton. Their list build's been magnificent, I think, the last 3 years. Now, we've disagreed on the Betts decision, but regardless of that, it's going to cost them nothing. Martin and Papley coming in makes such a difference, two rather than one. It changes their whole forward line and it changes their scoring power for me. I think that this is one that Carlton need to get done more than Sydney need to get done.
And if Danaher holds firm, or if Essendon holds firm on Danaher, is there any way in which Sydney would relent on Papley not having got their man?
I can't see that happening.
No, I think, we didn't get the bloke we want, we're not releasing the bloke
we want. That's okay. I think then Carlton should fall back to maybe Dan Butler. And you're getting him at cheap, you're getting him at pick 40 or something like that. Now, exactly not like-for-like for Tom Papley, but in 2017, he kicked 30 goals and had a lot of goal assists, a bit like Tom Papley. Hasn't been into the side because Shea Bolton's taken his place, but you get Dan Butler cheap, they still get pick 9, and they get Martin and a forward pressure player.
But by the same token, I can't see Tom Papley and Joe Danaher being in the same forward line next year. So it sort of works both ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, no doubt. And that's the thing. What they're bringing in right now is Jack Martin, who's an elite player, but he's not a great pressure player.
Yep.
Dan Butler would provide that pressure because we know that Eddie Betts is basically out of Adelaide because his pressure's not great right now.
Not sure if you saw what happened yesterday, Kingy, but Freo and St Kilda had a little bit of an argy-bargy, and Brad Hill at the moment is still a Freo player, and I believe he will be for at least the weekend. I think the clubs will resume talks on Monday. This is an intriguing situation because a pick swap has effectively seen the Saints walk away from the Freo Dockers after about 2.5 minutes, according to reports. What do you make of it all?
Well, is there a responsibility from the St Kilda point of view if you deal with a player and virtually say we're going to sign you on $5.4 million on a 6-year deal, so $900 a year to get the deal done? I'd be disappointed if I'm Brad Hill or Brad Hill's management, and even Fremantle, that St Kilda haven't shifted heaven and earth to get this deal done and get done early. Because I think Peter Bell's entitled to stand his ground and say, if you think this is a $900,000 player, that's marquee. Now, you've set that tone, you've set that figure, get the deal done. Offer more than what's been offered so far. I'd be disappointed if I was a St Kilda fan for not getting this deal across the line.
I agree. Freo is still winning. I know you might say that. Freo have still got Brad Hill in their team. It's a bit like Joe Danaher. It's up to Sydney to get Joe Danaher. It's up to St Kilda to get this deal done. Brad Hill is still a Fremantle player. So the worst case scenario for Fremantle is they walk away and say, we didn't get a deal. We've still got an All-Australian calibre player in our team next year. So I'm with Kingy. St Kilda have to come to the party here and get it done, not only because they've promised Brad Hill this deal, but the St Kilda fans that have got all this expectation now, Saints have got to find a way to get it done.
What about next year when they come knocking on another door and say, look, we want to give you 800 grand? You say, really? You didn't really get the Hill one done. It wasn't done as neat and as tight as it should have been. There'll be some flow-on effect from this, I think.
So what St Kilda was saying is that we offered up 6 and a future second rounder, so even more than 6, and we gave you a deadline. And yes, we have an obligation to Brad Hill, but we've got an obligation to Dougal Howard, to Zach Jones, to
What's your priority? What's your priority?
$900,000.
Well, I've offered 600 to Dougal Howard.
$900 is a game changer.
Yeah, but marquee is number 6 and a future second rounder, isn't it?
Well,
that is marquee.
What compare that to the Kelly deal?
Yeah, well, the Kelly deal, that's the other discussion, has muddied the waters, hasn't it?
Because no, it hasn't muddied them. It's just said that's basically where it is for that figure, for that type of player.
So precedent matters then, and Tim Kelly's deal has made some clubs stand up and go, hang on, if Tim Kelly's worth that, then our player's worth this.
So six in a second rounder is a massive deal. Well, I mean, they're asking for six, a first rounder, a third rounder. I mean, that rips your whole list management strategy apart.
I think we're seeing a bit of a shift in the way that the trade's doing. I think all the draft picks are being inflated because I think we're seeing draft picks are a little bit overrated, in my opinion. Yep. Once you're getting after pick, after the first round picks, it's very hard to get an All-Australian calibre player late in the draft. So I think everyone's inflating these picks, saying, well, no, it's more than just a second rounder. A second rounder now is not that good of a pick.
So as Kingy says, pick 25 next year, if you give it away, it could become 40 30.
And the
by
chance,
the time
and
all
as I've said, the chances of getting a 100-game player are about a 40% chance.
He's $900,000 a year. He's minimum two first-round selections.
So if, for instance, now they've got 12 and 18.
Forget that it's Brad Hill.
Yeah.
In any era.
So what deal gets that done now? If they say, well, all we've got is pick 12 and our future first rounder, forget Ben King, does 12 and their future first rounder get that done?
Well, it has to.
Probably.
It has to if they really want him.
Which embarrasses Fremantle because they say, hang on, we were going to get six.
Six and a
seven. So, look, it's going to be fascinating.
I don't think it embarrasses Fremantle. I think they're entitled to say, hang on.
But they've lost
you've
six
set
now.
This, but I you
agree.
Set this bar.
So what happens now then?
Well,
they might get two first rounders still. They might get 12 in next year's first rounder as opposed to six
more.
And a second rounder.
I think they've got to get more. I think they'll end up with more than where it started.
So you like what Peter Bell did yesterday?
Oh, absolutely.
In one word.
He's got a two-year deal.
Yep.
You think he's worth 900? Pay up.
And worst case scenario for Freo, they've got Brad Hill playing on a wing next year.
Yeah. And there's a little man behind the scenes called Colin Young, which we spoke about yesterday as well, which is probably a little bit more intricate based on these trades. Jack Stephen, where's that at? They've stalled those discussions.
They have. So right now the offer is pick 37. Geelong is not prepared to offer up pick 37. I think the fascinating part here is, and we all feel it'll get done, is how much money is St Kilda prepared to pay? So, Joey, they signed him on a five-year deal at the start of 2015. He'd already won the 2013 Best and Fairest. So maybe the question for St Kilda is right now, they've already offered 600 for Howard, 900 for Hill, 600 for Jones. Maybe they can't afford to pay a lot of that component of the salary.
That's interesting because we've spoken about St Kilda's salary cap. We know about the injuries and how that would have affected their salary cap. They've just re-signed Jack Billings, Jade Gresham. They wouldn't be on cheap deals. So maybe it is a bit of a financial thing because Geelong, I know it's freed up a little bit, but Tim Kelly wasn't on huge money because he was a second-year player. So the Cats probably could not afford to pay Jack Stephen his contract. I think maybe that's what they're haggling over, how much they're going to pay for. Because Jack, he'd be on some big money the last year of a big deal because he was by far St Kilda's best player.
What sort of money do you think? He's probably hit the incentives, hasn't he?
In 2015, Jack Stephen was by far St Kilda's best player.
Signed a five-year
deal. Five-year deal.
So he's probably on 800 a year.
Could be 800 or 900,000 a year.
So maybe they'll say, here's pick 37. Geelong are willing to give that to you, but we want you to pay half of that.
And maybe St Kilda, all of a sudden, they've got to make sure they've got their salary cap room to get Brad Hill and Dougal Howard and Zach Jones and everyone else they want.
Pick 37 looks about right.
It's about, it does seem fair.
So right. if it gets pushed back by three or four academy picks, it's about 41.
Yeah.
I think we all feel something starting with four is about right for
Jack
Stephen.
So you think St Kilda are entitled to say, hey, that's all we're offering. That's all we're asking for.
Yeah.
And Geelong will probably, they'll sign off
You'd
on that
so.
In the end.
And you like Jack Stephen as a player in that side.
They need another playmaker. They've lost someone who had serious talent, 24 votes in the Brownlow, Tim Kelly a star. We know that. So they need someone who can have that burst brilliance and win them a couple of games.
Speaking of playmakers, Ed Langdon is going to be one for Melbourne next year. That deal was done today, in fact at about midday today, and you're all over it when Josh Marnie was on his way to AFL House.
Yeah, that's
Talk
right.
us through this.
Yeah, so effectively Melbourne have gone from 22 this year to 26, just push back four picks, and then they've swapped their second rounder next year with Frio's future fourth rounder. So as Josh Marnie said to me, we have a great year next year, our second round is about pick 40 and we might have to give back about pick 660. Here's my issue with Melbourne. So as they admitted themselves, they weren't real flash this year, second last, and the year before maybe they fluked their way into a prelim. Since then they've added in this bloke who's a really good role player, but King, he's the 105th best player in the comp this year. And Tomlinson, have they done enough from second last this year?
That's a hard one to answer, isn't it? You don't fluke your way into a prelim, by the way.
No, by their own admission.
They had a pretty good year.
Brendan McCartney said, if we go back to the year before, this is only a personal opinion, I didn't think we're going as well as people thought we were.
Yeah. You don't fluke your way, but you can overplay yourself a touch. You get lucky the way things work.
We disagree on that. But
okay.
I think it's a good question. Have they improved their list enough to take a significant step? Langdon and Tomlinson come in, they paid nothing for those guys effectively.
Yeah.
Great dealing. But to lose Frost, I think it's going to have a bigger impact outside looking in than probably what they think. I think he'll have a great year at the Hawks next year, simplified his role. There's a lot he can do. I know there's things he can't do. Makes a few mistakes here and there, trying to create play. I don't know whether they've necessarily improved losing Frost and gaining the other two.
I think, first of all, with Langdon and Tomlinson, they might not be elite talent, Ralphie, but yeah. I think for structure and what your football looks like from a point of view, we know about their elite inside mids, we know about their lack of outside shape and run. I think they've addressed their needs. So that's what they would have gone into this off-season, saying we need to address our needs with some wingmen and the way we want to play. They can now tick that box. So the year before, they ticked off May and Lever, yep, shoring up their defence. Now they've got that outside, sort of those players that can play that role. So I think they've addressed their needs, and if they get their system right, then it can really help
them. You're a bit with me with Frosty, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Changed,
yeah,
changed Frost their back line, yeah, a fair bit, doesn't, yeah, it?
Keep the role. Buddy Franklin, he played on Buddy Franklin this year, kept him to one, yeah, goal. Jack Riewoldt to one goal. We all know that he has four or five Jack Frost brain fades, but he is a legitimately good forward who finished ninth in their best and fairest. So Melbourne says Oscar McDonald had a bad year this year, but in 2018 he was great. He'll return to that form. They think that they can play Marty Hall, Nev Jetta as a tall. I think we all agree that at times next year we'll say, where is Sam Frost in the Melbourne backline?
I think the big disadvantage for Melbourne now is Frost could lock down on the big star full forward, and Stephen May could do what he does best, which is intercept mark, win a fair bit of the footy. Now Stephen May, all of a sudden, who they've paid big money to get to their footy club, is going to have to be the bear in the goal square, playing on, you know, the Tom Lynch's and the Josh Kennedys, and playing on all those
Gold Coast
forwards.
Did he do that at Gold Coast?
But his strength really is his intercept marking and his ability to set up play by foot. Beautiful user. Now you might lose a bit of that offensive quality from Stephen May because of getting rid of Sam Frost.
He'd be the most under pressure player right now at Melbourne, Stephen May. Yeah. How he turns up to pre-season and how he starts next year. There'll be more scrutiny on that high ball coming into the Melbourne's defensive 50. Without Frost there, we'll be all waiting to see whether Oscar McDonald's actually up to it. Can he get the job done? And is Stephen May the answer?
And the good news for Stephen May, he was in the gym today, spoke to Marnes, he said he absolutely is aware of the fact he needs to have the pre-season he didn't have last year.
So, awesome. David King's spoken about this list. If this is the end of the trade period for Melbourne, are you happy with how they've reshape their list and their wings more specifically?
I think so. I think it's a tick. They've addressed their needs. And as Josh Marnie said, they think they can get by without Sam Frost. Time will tell whether that's the right call. But at least they've addressed those wing issues and they can structure up a bit better. And they're going to work on their deficiencies. They know they're a team that got too much hunt in the football. Then they've got that outside balance now.
All right, we've got your Moneyball call coming up next, as well as big changes at the Adelaide Crows with Scott Camporelli and also Brett Burton showing the door. Stay with us. Welcome back to Trading Day. The Adelaide Footy Club is not what it was a few days ago because two men have left the building, Brett Burton and also Scott Camporelli. How does this affect their trading and their drafting, King?
Well, it has to have some effect because you don't get particularly what the coach wants. They would have had preliminary discussions with all the people that they've interviewed, Ralphie. They'd probably know that it's down to one, if not two, contenders for coaching. Yep. They already know what their thoughts are. Don't think it affects it greatly, but it's been a horror, 12 to 18 months.
It's been terrible, hasn't
it? If they just came out at the start of 2018 and say, we totally stuffed it up, instead of all this discussion, what it did was a compromise the fact and disguise the fact their list had fallen off a cliff. If they'd known that at the end of 2018, you trade off some players for quality picks. Now, it's a fire sale.
Moneyball call. Joey.
Well, the definition of Moneyball, there's specific roles. And the most important, one of the most important roles that we very rarely touch on is the backup ruck role.
So Andrew Phillips, I understand, is in the line to be get a gear
to
Essendon.
Essendon, yep, to be a backup ruck behind Bell Chambers. Could potentially push for number one ruck while young Sam Draper comes through. Darcy Cameron, we know, is going to go from Sydney to Collingwood. Because, you know what, no one ever worries about the backup rucks until you need the backup ruck. Yeah. Look at Ivan Soldo. I mean, he's now a premiership player because Toby Nankervis goes down injured. You need that backup ruck. They could come in handy. So Mark Pitney, we believe, might go from Hawthorn to Carlton.
And they want to play Ben McAvoy at centre-half back so they can create space to keep
Pitney. Try and keep him, yeah. Zach Smith, we believe, might go back to the Gold Coast Suns from Geelong. We know Sam Jacobs will end up at GWS. And of course, as I said, Darcy Cameron, Sydney to Collingwood. So this time of year, there's always five or six of these backup rucks that continue just to rotate around, don't they, Kingy? They get a lot of lifespan, the backup rucks, but they are important because if your number one ruckman goes down, you need someone to fill a void. Look at Riley O'Brien, what he did at the Crows this year, and as I said, of course, Ivan Soldo.
Do you know who the best second ruckman or backup ruckman is in the comp?
Bruce has got the job for life. It's like a four-year deal to be a backup ruck on board.
What's happening with Josh Jenkins? He's a goal-kicking backup ruck type.
There is zero interest in him, despite wanting to play for $200,000. His management's confident that something will happen really late, but Geelong said no, Gold Coast said no. It seems like there's nothing.
Melbourne said no. Yeah.
Collingwood said
no. I still think Brisbane. Do they need the next bit of help?
No, they said no.
No, to help Hipwood and McStay. No.
I still think the Cats are within an outside chance. They're just waiting to see what else happens. I'm not sure.
If they get nothing else as a backup, I still think they want some cover for Tom Hawkins if he gets suspended or injured.
Second, is it a legitimate chance that Josh Jenkins will not be playing AFL in 2020?
No, he's got a contract, so he might be paid $600,000 to play at Adelaide.
Surely. Sandful. Some will take
quick question for you, fellas. Is it bad to be defined as someone who's hard to deal with as a football manager?
No, it's awesome.
Okay, so Peter Bell, Adrian Dodoro, we like that. Yeah. The next question for you, King, is should North be doing more this trade period?
No, they get in trouble when they're aggressive. Yeah. You're paying Dustin Martin too much, Gaff too much.
De Goey
too much. They were spot on with those guys. Then they're quiet behind the scenes. They're still getting bashed. Can't win.
Joey, should the Dogs leave Bruce or Keith if they have to give up too much for them?
No, give them up. That's all they need, the
Pick
Dogs.
13.
That's all they need. If they get Keith and Bruce, as I said earlier in the week, they can win a premiership. The Dogs can win the premiership. It's going to be hard behind Richmond.
Prepare to leave. Pick 13. You'd give up pick 13 for one of them?
You'd work out a way, but yeah, I'd be happy to. They need Bruce and Keith, absolutely.
What's the first trade on Monday?
John Patton, I'll tell you what. I asked Graham Wright about this, and that might take some time. So John Patton is off the table as the next trade on Monday.
Well, you'll be back next week, Ralphie, Joey, King. Have a great weekend.
Can't wait.
And we'll be with you Monday, Tuesday, and for 2.5 hours on Wednesday on Trading Day.
This has been a Fox Sports production.